Well, last May, Neil Meehan discovered 40 unmarked graves at the Bethany Home, which was a Protestant evangelical home for so-called fallen women. But the true picture of conditions in that home are highlighted by his discovery of 219 unmarked children's graves from the Bethany Home. And Neil Meehan from the Faculty of Journalism and Media is here in studio to fill us in on this story, which is published in this month's History Ireland. Now, we've all heard about the letter Fracts and the Artanes and the so on at this stage, Neil. What was the Bethany Home and who went there, first of all?
It was known as a home for unmarried mothers. Essentially, it was a home for what were termed fallen women. When it opened in 1922, the Church of Ireland Archbishop said it was a home for fallen women, and that consisted of prostitutes, alcoholics, unmarried mothers, and also women sent by the courts for crimes ranging from petty theft up to infanticide. Essentially, the home saw its job as the saving of souls and bringing sinners back to Christ, and that was its primary motivation. In terms of the mortality in the home, there was a significant increase in mortality during the 1930s. Of the 219 graves discovered in Mount Jerome, unmarked graves, over a third occurred in the period 35 to 39. That's 86 of the children, nearly two-thirds in a 10-year period between 35 and 44.
So who are the remains in those graves, and what do we know about the causes of their death?
In the cemetery records, there's a one-line cause of death, and the causes of death are given as 54 from convulsions, 41 from heart failure, and 26 from marasmus, which is a type of malnutrition. About 19 were stillborn, 7 premature, and there were various other causes of death given. We don't yet have death certificates, so that's next on the agenda, because the death certificate should give more information, because some of these one-line causes of death could be underlying causes. Heart failure, for instance, is something that happens when you die. It may not necessarily be a cause of death.
Mm-hmm. But it certainly suggests that the conditions in the Bethany home were as bad as anything we've heard about in other places.
It certainly seems so, and in the late 1930s there was public controversy in relation to the Bethany Home, which was carried in the Irish Independent and Irish Times in August 1939, so much so that the Deputy Chief Medical Advisor in the Department of Local Government and Public Health went into the home once in February 1939 and twice in October 1939. There was essentially a bit of a turf war going on between the Catholic Protection and Rescue Society, who physically went into the Bethany home and took out children who they said were neglected and put them in hospitals. And they were actually hospitalised for months on end. And they had conditions like rickets, whooping cough and so on, and scalding and other conditions. There are also internal reports from inspectors in the Department of Local Government and Public Health alleging that children nursed out in County Monaghan, I've seen some records from there, that children were neglected. In one case, it was recommended that a nurse mother be prosecuted. Now, the attitude of the Deputy Chief Medical Advisor was to dismiss all of these claims of increased mortality and neglect and hospitalisation, because he said it's a well-known fact that illegitimate children are delicate. He also
illegitimate children are delicate.
Yes, he said this was well known as a fact, and it indicates the type of prejudice that existed in Irish society at that time.
It also, from what you're saying, though, there were inspectors. Was this state funded? Were the regular inspections going on? Are there questions for the state about conditions in the Bethany home?
There definitely are. In 1934, a Maternity Act was passed, and the primary reason for the act being passed was to get a handle on what was happening in unmarried mothers' homes, because the state was aware that there were large rates of mortality for unmarried mothers in these institutions, much higher than rates normally. So inspectors went in, and the first inspection was in 1936, and it was found that the medical staff was inadequate and that wards were overcrowded. So the state began to take responsibility for what was happening. In 1939, there was a Public Assistance Act passed, and that was supposed to guarantee per capita payments to homes like the Bethany Home. Now, what the medical advisor
did, that would have covered the Magdalen laundries as well, would it?
It would have, and right. To a certain extent, in relation to women sent by the courts, Bethany Home and the Magdalen laundries are in the same type of category. However, what the inspector did when advisor did when he went in was he in fact abdicated the statutory responsibility and he took on something that was none of his business. He forced the Bethany Home in October 1939 to cease taking in Catholics, because the Bethany Home was an evangelical institution and it did see its role as converting people to the Reformed faith. Now, there was a lot of dissension within the Protestant community about that. In the Church of Ireland, there were differences of opinion. However, it was none of his business what religion the women and children were. He concentrated on that, and he said that should satisfy most Roman Catholics with regard to their objection to Bethany's, what he called, objectionable activities. Now, the advisor himself was a member of the Church of Ireland. So essentially what was happening was the state was saying, was regulating for a level sectarian playing field. The Catholics would be one half, the Protestants in their half. The state said, don't interfere with each other, but what you do in your particular half of the pitch, we're not going to pay too much attention to. Now, in 1940, the residential secretary of the Bethany Home, she said that the reason they passed the motion excluding Catholics was because of unfriendly attention from public officials and a threat to exclude the Bethany Home from payments under the Public Assistance Act of 1939, and the Bethany was in fact excluded until 1948.
And the issue of exclusion is still a question in a way, isn't it, for those survivors from the
exactly.
Bethany Home who want to be included in the redress scheme?
Yes, precisely. Someone like Derek Leinster, who was a pioneer and tried to discover his roots, he was there from 41 to 45. He has medical conditions which stem from his time in the Bethany Home. After 1948, the rate of infant mortality was negligible. I think only about 5 children died between 49 and 63, which is the latest year I have figures for.
Which, given what we know about other things that were going on in the 50s, is not bad, I suppose.
Absolutely, but it indicates once the institution was funded, the rate of mortality fell away to almost nothing. Another significant aspect I should mention is that in July, the Department of Justice sent me a letter stating that the Bethany Home was designated as a place of detention in 1945. So in other words, the state sent children to the home. The reason that the government has said that people in the Bethany Home are not eligible for the redress scheme is because people went there voluntarily. Well, first of all...
How free were their choices?
Well, in terms of social attitudes, it wasn't free. They weren't free. The government's argument is that this was a social issue, a civic society issue, and not their issue. But if you consider what the government did in 1939 in relation to abdicating responsibility for neglect and mortality and concentrating only on the sectarianism issue, that indicates that the state had some role to play in the level of mortality that took place in the late 1930s and early 1940s.
And I know we will be hearing from the survivors later today, but thank you very much for coming in and talking to us so eloquently about that story, which, as I say, the new research on what happened in the Bethany Home and the graves that are being discovered being published in this month's edition of History Ireland. Neil Meehan, thank you.
Thank you.